Movie BS with Aaron Snyder.
Jeff and Eric were walking through the woods one night. That's right. When they saw something giving off an eerie light, so bright. Turned out it was an alien meteorite. That's right. And its radiation gave them superhuman insight. So bright.
And on that day, they vowed to use their powers for good instead of evil, swearing to protect mankind from the vile clutches of their evil arch-nemesis, Bad Cinema. And if you find yourself in a bind at the multiplex, not sure what to watch, you too can call on
Movie BS with Aaron Snyder.
Hello, and welcome to Movie BS with Baron Snyder, the only movie podcast on the internet. I'm your host, Eric D. Snyder, here with my sidekick, Jeff Baer.
I deserve that. I'm Jeff Baer. I'm actually the co-host, and that's my sidekick, Eric D. Snyder. But, can you have a co-host and a sidekick, and that's it?
You're a pain in my neck. That's what you are.
Yeah, today, look. Hate's a strong word, but that's exactly how I feel.
It's just better. We did the show last week face to face, and I think we agree it's better if we're separated by some geographical distance and technology.
Yeah,
we really should only communicate via Skype ever.
Hmm. Interesting.
Or through lawyers.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Let's break the news to him right now, right off the top.
News? Oh, yeah, about next week's show, you mean?
That's right.
All right, here's the thing about next week's show. It will not exist.
Nope.
Want to tell them why? Want to tell them whose fault it is?
I kind of want to say it's your fault.
You
probably think it's mine, but here's why it's kind of your fault.
Okay.
When I proposed the idea, you agreed to it.
That's true. That is on me.
So it was just an idea for me. It wasn't something that was actually going to happen. And then you decided it was going to happen.
That's true.
But you did use the word deserve. You specifically
said you deserve a break. Did you not hear the sarcasm in my voice when I said that?
No, you wrong inflection.
Jeff is going on vacation or something.
It's not vacation. I'm
Whatever
going to Iowa to visit my
family. Going to Iowa. Jeff is
There's
going
no internet.
To prison.
There's no internet there.
I'm pretty sure they have internet in Iowa.
They do. They do.
Do you have any other lies you want to tell the listeners?
Okay. I'm a freak when it comes to discussing movies that I haven't seen that I'm excited about, and I won't have had a chance to see the latest Mission Impossible. So then it was just going to be me doing vacation and then not listening to you talk about Mission Impossible. And then on top of that, there's some luggage issue, lugging around a microphone. You guys don't understand. These microphones that we use, they're 55 pounds, I think, 55?
Yeah, they're very much like the old movie cameras that were very loud and big and heavy. Yeah, much like that.
And we have cones of silence that we actually carry around with us on location, and I don't want to bring that either.
Also not true. So no show next week. You all
no
get a
show.
Break.
Everybody just relax. We're gonna have a new Mount Rushmore question for you, so you can really give that some thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you can do for 2 weeks while we get some R&R.
Sure, sure.
Are you going to get both?
I just had some R&R. I had some R. I could use a little bit more R.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. Hey, you know what? There is an iTunes review.
Oh.
We have an iTunes review to read. I forgot. Until just now.
And then after that, we swear. We'll talk about some movies.
Then we'll talk about movies.
We'll talk about three movies.
We're almost done talking about ourselves, and then we'll talk about movies.
Yep.
If you write us a review on iTunes, we'll read it on the show in old-timey voice like this. This comes from Criscoff Lips. I don't know. He or she says, I have listened to every podcast on the internet, and I can honestly say that this is, in fact, a podcast. While most pods lavish their listeners with celebrities and cold hard cash, this one makes up for its obvious lack of gifts with good old-fashioned entertainments. If you're like me, you'll get the most out of this by tuning in while you're watching the movie, thereby tearing down the wall between theater experience and criticism. Word of warning, though, be sure to have the volume on low since most people aren't hip to this jam. Thanks, Crisco Flips.
Hang on, is he talking about doing it in the theater?
Listening to us in the theater, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mean doing it, as in sex, Eric.
I don't know why you said doing it.
Because he was talking about listening. An experience, and right. I said doing it. Yeah. I thought the experience was the obvious reference to the it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's implying listen to the show in the theater. And, yeah, that's not a good idea. Course. Well, if you got your headphones
you know
on,
what?
No one else
you know
would
what
hear.
It, you know what? Mm. No one else would hear. If you did it during the previews, that would be interesting. Because there's like probably 10 minutes of previews, and our typical review is probably about 10 minutes. I don't know the math.
Oh, there's 20 minutes of previews. Have you been to a brand new movie, like opening weekend? It's 20 minutes.
Oh,
I time it.
Here's the most shocking thing. Hmm. I did that for Terminator Genesis.
Yeah.
That's what it was called, right? Genesis.
Uh-huh.
I was like, okay. All right, I got my headphones ready, everything else like that. I walked into the theater 2 minutes after the start time, so like tons of previews, and I was ready to have my earphones in. And the movie was just starting. I don't know if they started it early. I don't know if this theater just didn't show previews for this particular Thursday screening. I don't know what the deal was, but it was very shocking and kind of nice.
That is very strange. I like the idea of running the show times for what time the movie actually starts, so you can intentionally miss the previews. But of course, everyone would have to be on board with that. Otherwise, you'd never know.
Yeah, it would be too much.
Did it which way?
Right.
Of course, we could also just get rid of previews or not show 20 damn minutes of them for crying out loud.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
Eric, both of us seem a little punchy right now. First movie, Southpaw.
Oh, that's about punching. You know what Southpaw means? It means left-handed. That's slang. That's sports slang for left-handed.
Did you look it up?
No, I already knew that.
Okay.
It comes from baseball, and I know baseball things.
Yes, you do.
So there. do you know why this movie is called Southpaw?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think it should be discussed.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
All right.
And that's why the movie almost doesn't discuss it.
That's right.
There's like two lines, maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
What? Oh, you hear
that
trouble?
That reminds me.
Hi, Trouble.
Eric.
Hmm.
We have a segment that
the Trouble Report. I was away for a week. I had someone stop in and check on Trouble, the cat, and she's fine. She was very glad to see me when I got back. There was a lot of meowing on my part, and then she also did some meowing in response.
Southpaw. Okay.
Southpaw. Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal, who decided to somehow get negative body fat on him for this movie. And that in and of itself is something to behold because he is ripped. Goodness.
Yeah. Oh, man alive. He's been ripped before in various things, but not ripped this.
Yeah,
this is a different kind of rippage.
And this is a boxer, Billy Hope.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Billy Hope, and
that name's a little too on the nose, don't worry. His nickname is The Great, Billy The Great Hope.
And more importantly, if you forget where he or his wife, who's played by Rachel McAdams, is from, they will tell you about 20 times in the beginning of the movie, Hell's Kitchen. They're from Hell's Kitchen, and they're orphans.
Yeah. They came up in the system, the School of Hard Knocks, for the streets, and now he's a big shot. He's the world light heavyweight champion, because that's a thing.
And he has many belts, and his record is 43-0. See, we're walking in, and he couldn't be any bigger in his profession.
He's at the top of his game.
That's right. And he sounds like a boxer. there's times where he like subtitles.
There's no way to make this cat stop meowing. By the way, that's it's not possible.
You're talking about Trouble?
Yeah, I am talking about.
Whoa! Trouble. What did you just do?
Sort of made her leave
the
table.
Something at Trouble?
No, I sort of gently nudged her off the table. She's fine.
The really quick way to sum this movie up is it's the Rocky V we were looking for. There's
that,
a ton
that presumes that we were looking for a Rocky V.
I sure was, because I saw Rocky V opening weekend in the theater and was excited for it.
It's set up very basically. I like Jake Gyllenhaal a lot in the movie, but I think the movie is really formulaic.
It's
2 hours long, and
so many conveniences.
Almost evenly divided. Half hour of at the top of his game, and then there's a tragedy, and then a half hour of falling and hitting the bottom, half hour of starting to come back, and a half hour for the final fight. That's your boxing movie right there. Which is fine. It just doesn't really do anything interesting with it other than Jake Gyllenhaal being really good.
It's funny also. So the opening credits, I've never had this issue before. Well, I remember there was this movie. Nobody saw this movie. It was about a couple of women that were vampires. And it was based on some story. And it like says vampires. And I didn't even know it was about vampires. And I was
I don't remember what the movie was, but I remember that somehow
nobody saw it.
Opening credits, yes, gave away.
So this is another case of the opening credits giving a few things away for me. I didn't know who was in the movie.
Okay.
And clearly when this can't be a spoiler. Forrest Whitaker.
If it's someone who's in the movie, it's not a spoiler.
Right. Forrest Whitaker's in the film.
Yeah, he's second billed in the credits and he doesn't show up until halfway through.
And yes, and he doesn't show up till halfway through, but it's very obvious who he will be.
right. What role
because,
he will
play. Right,
will
what role he will
play.
Story. It's very obvious. Mm-hmm. And then there's also another thing that I won't get into because I felt like it was like, oh, that's different than I assumed. And that's very specific. And I'm sorry that I can't get in details with it, but we don't want to spoil things if people can go into fresh. But we have Rachel McAdams as the wife that's definitely in control. And then there's the tragedy.
Well, and she's concerned. That Billy has been boxing a lot. And you know what happens when you box a lot is you get punched in the head a lot. And eventually that makes you stupid and ugly. She's worried about his beautiful, beautiful face and about his brain.
And it seemed like he might have already been a little bit stupid.
Yeah. He was no genius to begin with.
Right. It wasn't like he was trying to figure out between MIT and boxing. and then 50 Cent, who does a pretty good job as an actor here. Nothing special, but he does a good job. He's the manager. And again, everything is just like, oh, he's that kind of manager. Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's going to be
all
that kind of
money.
Trainer. Got it. It's going to be this kind of boxer. Got it. And with that, the conveniences are really weird because I kept feeling like this movie hinged on, in every situation, only one thing could happen to get to the outcome that it eventually wanted to achieve.
Right.
So there aren't really any surprises, but not only are there no surprises, there's a little bit of like, again, in Rocky V, there's a fall. So here, there's a fall. And it's just like, okay, I guess that's possible. I think I would have liked a little bit more detail considering they set it up to where, you know, Rachel McAdams' character is like on top of everything supposedly, and he's got a good manager supposedly, and all of this stuff that just like, all right.
That at some point, Billy Hope loses everything. And in case that's not clear, there's a newspaper headline that says, Hope loses everything. And then also there's a time where he's helping his daughter. He has like a 10-year-old daughter, Layla, helping her with her spelling homework. Her spelling words are...
What's that second word that she needs help?
Her spelling words are dismantle and hopelessness. Again, just in case it wasn't clear.
And just in case it wasn't clear also, I think the girl played by Una Lawrence, we'll probably see more things from her.
She's good.
I think she does a really good job with her performance, except, like with the dialogue, it goes to that really obvious place where she, you know, says something directly to her dad about the tragedy been befallen. And it's just like – it's that thing of like, you needed to pull back. Like
you got –
not necessarily leave some mystery, but quit hitting the nail exactly on top of the head every single time.
And then you got boxing commentators reminding us, in case you're just joining us, here's what has already happened to Billy Hope.
Yeah.
And they're saying that in like the 10th and 11th round. Like we have, like they haven't already said it 50 times during the fight.
Right. But I think the boxing looks good. Jake Gyllenhaal does a really good job of making you forget that he is a brilliant young actor. I guess he's not that young anymore, but still. I think it's a really interesting performance for him to tackle because he really commits. It's an obvious thing where he just hands himself over to this role and tries to get the most out of it. And he does. It's just
Billy is ragged and inarticulate, and he's got rage. He's got rage. He reminded me a little bit of the other great boxing performances by like Brando and De Niro.
Yeah.
Well, Brando playing a former boxer, but right. Yeah. That kind of inarticulate anger.
He's Forrest Whitaker. I could have used some subtitles for him as well on occasion. But it's just like what you realize is that doesn't really matter. It's all the emotions that they wear on the sleeves that matters in this movie. And Jake Gyllenhaal's just at the top of his game, but in a movie that isn't. So
that's basically what it comes down to. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. There's the Eminem song. I liked that during the montage. There's a couple of good montages, a couple of basic things. Like I'm not super knowledgeable about boxing.
You just have to hit each other. That's all it is.
Yeah, I don't think you need to be, but like the techniques that are introduced, it's kind of that simple idea of like, okay, yeah, let's work on some defense. All right, this is how we can do that, and all of that is kind of fun.
You mentioned Eminem. This was originally conceived as an Eminem project, from what I understand, as sort of a follow-up to 8 Mile. And knowing that, as you see what happens in the movie and see the character, I can definitely picture Eminem being that guy and having that life.
That's too bad. That would have been interesting to see as well.
Would have been interesting, although Jake Gyllenhaal is almost certainly gives a better performance than Eminem would have. Now, Eminem was fine, of course, in 8 Mile, but yeah.
Yes. So for me, it's a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, it's a B minus.
And I'd probably it's that weird mix of like Jake Gyllenhaal's great. I don't need to be reminded about this performance during award season. I don't think it will be. I don't know.
It'll be one of those dark horses. It'll be one of those you should also consider because it comes out in the summer. So everyone will have forgotten it by the time.
And eventually he'll be underrated. No matter what happens and that's good. He should be underrated for this performance.
Keeps him scrappy. Keeps him fighting.
Yeah.
Now then, also Paper Towns, and we're going to do one of these things. One of our patented trademark seamless edits.
Don't even tell them because it's not. They're not going to know.
True.
It's
not even
be so.
Mentioning. Yeah. You won't even know that we recorded the Paper Towns review separately from the rest of the show. So here's our Paper Towns review right here. This is based on a book by John Green, who also wrote The Fart in Our Stars, The Fault in Our Stars, The Fart in Our Stalls.
he's an it author right now. Can we say that?
Yeah, he's.
Is that what he is?
He's very hot. The kids like him.
You read Fault in the Stars?
I did. Right? I did read Fault in Our Stars.
But you did not read Paper Towns?
I did not read Paper Towns.
But I heard like people saying things like, well, Paper Towns, that's even the better book. Is that the correct vibe that I heard from social media or whatever?
That sounds plausible. It sounds plausible. Yeah.
All right. So here's the deal with this Paper Towns movie here. We got you got Q, otherwise known as Quentin, and Margot moves in next door when they're little kids, and he's immediately infatuated, but he's straight-laced.
Yeah.
And she's a free spirit.
Yeah, none of that matters. They're high school seniors. They drifted apart like 11 years ago.
Here's the problem.
They were friends for a couple years and they weren't. Huh.
I know it doesn't matter. And it's kind of an annoying beginning because it takes a long time to appreciate them because there's nothing interesting about, let's do the math, a 7 or 8 year old thinking that he's in love with a neighbor girl and him as doing the voiceover. In the beginning of the movie, like telling us about it.
Yeah.
There is no hook. I was really surprised at how long it took me to find some charm
Margot, Paper Towns. Margot is one of those larger-than-life characters. She's cultivated this personality, this public persona. She reminded me Like, she's one of the people, she can go anywhere, do anything. She reminded me of Brad Pitt in Fight Club. Like, she just sort of do anything, and everyone has legends about her. So much so that at first I thought, oh, maybe she's not real. That's a spoiler for Fight Club, by the way.
Or maybe just the idea of her is not real. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about Margot. But then, you know, Q's got the friends. He's got Radar and Ben.
Sure.
And goodness, again, it was just kind of like, oh, Ben's talking about how sexy Q's mom is. Mm-hmm. All right, we've been here. There's some guys
taunting each other, teasing, talking like bros do. Sure, whatever.
And then there's a hint of interest here because Margot takes Q on an adventure, one magical night.
A night of revenge.
A night of revenge. There's 9 problems to solve. How many did you count?
Oh, I took her word for it that there were 9.
Well, they only solved 4 or 5. Maybe some of those were
covered multiple problems, maybe. No.
It was just one of those things where it's like, don't tell me a number and then not follow through on a number. That's annoying.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's almost like a loaded gun in Southpaw that never comes back. But that's a good point. Then there's some clues, there's an adventure because guess what? After this magical night, there's an air of mystery about Margot.
She up and disappears.
Things must be solved, and Q takes it upon himself because of that magical night, and realizing that there was a connection that, you know, he can figure these things out.
And also realizing that Margot has left clues. A bit of a scavenger hunt.
Yes.
To find Margot.
There's a fun idea there, and banter is had with friends, and suddenly there's a little bit of a road trip movie that we're on, and away we go. Mm-hmm. It's all just mild and subtle and kind of nice.
There's a bit of the – it's not the journey – or it's not the destination. It's the journey. There's a bit of be sure to really live life and appreciate the fun stuff now while it's happening, which occurred to me. I don't feel like that's a message that teenagers are really lacking in their lives, the message to have more fun.
There definitely needs to be more movies telling the people that are getting straight A's potentially are on a path that they enjoy.
Yeah.
Really, we need more pop culture telling them to knock it off. That's what we need.
Go and screw around some. Because you're right. Not enough kids are out screwing around and having fun. That is the problem with today's kids. They're not having fun.
That's right. There's a cameo. Did you notice the cameo?
Yeah. Angle Escort. From that cult movies.
Movie. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of fun because it's like, oh, okay, there's a connection.
I recognize him.
Yeah.
That's what you say to yourself.
That's right.
It's fine as far as a teen thing. It's
weird because it almost seems like the characters in the movie and therefore potentially, you know, the screenwriters and so on and so forth, it's almost like they've never really seen a teen movie before. So they don't know that they're being a little redundant at times with, like, this is well-traveled ground. You gotta bring something else to the table if you want to stand out.
Well, and that's the thing is much of the target audience won't have seen very many of these. They'll have seen, a handful of movies just like this one. And that's fine, I suppose.
Hang on 1 second. Are you saying me, a 39-year-old dad, is not a target audience for Paper Towns?
I am saying that, yeah.
Did you know about Paper Towns? I didn't.
I hadn't heard them called that before, but I knew that was a thing that map makers.
I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun to know that thing. Mm-hmm.
Like you said about it not seeming – maybe this is not what you were saying, but it's what I'm saying. Margot, as a character, is such a phony. She's complaining about, the people in this town we live in, which is Orlando. So maybe she's right. Yeah. Everyone's here fake and nobody cares. She says nobody cares about anything that matters. And I thought that's she doesn't seem like an authentic jaded teenager. She seems like an adult's idea of a jaded teenager. And she has no basis for it.
Visually, she's interesting. She is. Because
she looks like Michelle Monaghan.
Yeah, she does. She looks like a younger, bigger-eyebrowed Michelle Monaghan. And so there was something kind of engaging in that. And she's not – this is weird. She's not necessarily a standard beauty. And Nat Wolf, who plays Q, Quentin?
Yeah.
He's kind of interesting too in it. But he's interesting in a really kind of like
Well, yes, that is absolutely what an ordinary teenager should look
he's
like.
Not a, he's kind not of a, way. He's no matinee idol.
And not only that, he doesn't have there's no real charisma. There's hinted charisma that like some people see in him on occasion, but you don't really see it. And I don't think that's necessarily a problem.
Well, yeah, because nobody. But, I mean, in the movie, nobody particularly finds him that interesting. She is the problem because there's nothing to her. There's nothing to her, and she's selfish.
Don't worry about it because she's not in the movie all that much, that's Eric. True.
It's more her friend, Lacey, winds up along for the ride, who I did like.
That's right. Yeah, Lacey was fine.
Here's what I didn't like. You want to know what bothered me?
Yes, I do want to know, but I couldn't guess it.
The three boys said that craziest thing they ever did was they snuck in to see Snow Dogs.
Uh-oh.
Now, Snow Dogs came out in 2002 when these boys were five.
That would be crazy.
I mean, maybe it was like maybe there was a revival of Snow Dogs later on.
But hey, if 5-year-olds snuck into a movie, that would be crazy.
That would be pretty crazy if 5-year-olds snuck into a movie. That's true.
There you go.
I'll give you that.
Do you have anything more to say about the movie?
Not really.
I don't either. It's a 6 out of 10. It's harmless.
I'm going B minus because for what it is, for that kind of movie, for that audience, it's fine.
And not only that, the hints of Woody Guthrie and Walt Whitman, for what they do with it, no, not enough. You got to dive deeper if you're going to like toss those names around. You can't just have those be like, you know, cute little references of what some indie teenager could believe in.
I think you can. I think that's what Waltman is mostly used for.
I don't know. One of the hangups I have is simply at some point in the movie, it's a matter of like, okay, how much time do we have to get to a certain place?
Right.
And then things run amok, but then somehow, you know, time is still achieved in this distance and everything. Yeah. And I was very annoyed. And I know I can't get into details here with this, but it was just like,
with the delay, the thing that delayed them?
The thing that delayed them is different. But then
the fact that there was a delay. I always think when they're saying, we only have so much time to get to this place, I always think you should take the freeway then, not those 2-lane highways.
And not only
the interstate system's four.
Yeah, there was the delay was very convenient for what occurred. But anyway, we won't get into all of that. Sorry.
Good thing we brought it up then.
Good thing I brought it up. Blame me. And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
No, we're just going to edit this seamlessly into the rest of the show. Okay, and then there's also a movie called Pixels.
Yes.
Which I didn't see. I was on a plane when it was happening. And I forgot I'm boycotting Adam Sandler movies now. Because if it's with his usual crew. And this is Tim Herlihy he wrote it. And he's been writing Adam Sandler movies for 20 years. So I had no reason to think it would be any different.
Yes,
so I boycotted this movie. That's what happened.
You did have a reason to think it would be different.
He has quit trying and wasted his chances.
The director, Chris Columbus, though.
Mm-hmm.
The great, should we say great? Yeah, let's.
You can say famous.
Famous? The famous Chris Columbus.
The experienced director, Chris Columbus.
Now,
you saw this movie.
I did see this movie. I saw this movie, and to give you an idea of who I was. I grew up on Atari and then some, and then Nintendo, and it followed suit. Mm-hmm. I loved it all. Loved
it. Me too.
Where do I start here? Do you know who the president is of the United States in this movie?
I know in real life. I do not know in the movie, no.
Kevin James.
Ah, okay. That sounds about right.
Does it?
Is he playing Mike Huckabee? Because he kind of looks like Mike Huckabee.
You think he does? Yeah, I guess.
Of the real-life potential presidencies, that would be the closest.
He's President Cooper.
All right.
He's President Cooper. Anyway, okay. Adam Sandler's character was really good at video games in 1982. He was a natural. He just saw the patterns, and he was good at it. Mm-hmm. So everybody thought he would have great things coming toward him. And
wait, this is Sandler's character?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
He was his best friend growing up was Kevin James' character.
Oh, the president, yeah.
Yeah, the president. Mm-hmm. And so then, boy, let's see. They
they send this 1982 video of the world champion video games into outer space.
Mm-hmm.
And then now present day. Present day, although I believe it was referred to as 2013 in the movie.
All right.
You know what?
I remember Kevin James was president in 2013. I remember that now.
Not only – so here's – this is one of the weird parts. It was 2013, but there's also a nod to Obama definitely being a president in the movie.
Hmm.
So yeah, so I don't know what happened.
The election 2012?
To President Cooper? I don't know. I don't want to –
Maybe it's a really, really lazy movie written by Adam Sandler's lazy friend.
Yes.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, there's no –
So what happens? So monsters from video games come attack.
Monsters
from
video games come and attack, and Adam Sandler and a couple of his crew, plays by Josh Gad, and then kind of an anti-crew, like the evil guy, but they need him as Peter Dinklage. And I don't know what Peter Dinklage is doing in this movie, but I don't care for him being
paid.
In this movie
what
at all.
He's doing. He's getting paid.
He is getting paid. Josh Gad comes out smelling the sweetest, if that's possible.
Seems unlikely.
Ryan Cox, not so much. There's moments where this movie is attempting to be a satire.
Of what?
Like no fighting in the war room kind of thing.
Okay.
Like the it rarely continues on that path. It just has moments of it. And I did have an honest to goodness fondness of the first time that Adam Sandler has to fight Centipede because it was this idea of here's this guy who had this amazing talent as a kid and it didn't lead to anything. And
right.
now he's got a chance to prove himself. And that is a good idea. And it is also fun to think that our technology or our entertainment could in some way come back to spit in our face or attack us or whatever the case may be.
This is my question. The video game monsters that come and attack us, are these aliens that exist somewhere else, or did aliens create them to come and fight us?
Aliens created them
okay.
to accept our challenge.
Oh, they thought we were sending them a challenge with that video
and
game.
That's also a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But the execution is fairly constantly annoying. And
this
not
is all
only
based
that,
on a short film, by the way. From 5 years
I know.
Ago.
I did
so
see that
probably
in the credits.
Was a good idea.
It probably was. And I think the most frustrating thing is at one point we have, okay, we need Adam Sandler. Got it. Like he needs to do it. But then suddenly we're in New York City where there's a Pac-Man and like there's no rhyme or reason because there's no pattern then for Adam Sandler to achieve. Like why is he driving a car? He's not a professional in any sort of way, a military man should be doing this. And it just suddenly constantly deteriorates into like, wait, what are you doing here? Why are you doing this? Why are you suddenly having a gala after two victories? Why are you – and it's infuriating and it's boring and it just –
But it's really funny,
that.
Right? Like you really laugh a lot because
– No. Some of the audience did at some of the lame humor, but this is really lame, easy, weak jokes. Michelle Monaghan is Colonel Violet, but like it was a mistaken identity thing. So then there's stupid banter between her and Sandler throughout the whole thing, like bickering, but you know they'll end up together.
Oh, I assume she played his wife since she's hot.
No.
But she
no.
eventually becomes his love interest.
Yeah. A woman named Cinnamon is a Pilates instructor, and she broke up Michelle Moynihan's marriage. The 19-year-old and I didn't – I found the movie fairly sexist at – because it's a lot of guys kind of occasionally pining over just the beauty of women.
Right.
And that's annoying. I just – gosh.
Do they present Josh Gad as having grown up with Adam Sandler? Are they contemporaries?
They are – I think the movie establishes that there is a 3-year difference between the two of them.
Okay.
That's what I would say the movie does.
It's 15 years in real life.
Oh, I know. It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and not only that, you would have had a field day with going like, hang on a second. It's a 1982 video, so what is this game doing in here? Mm. What is that game doing here? And so on and so forth. And that's annoying. And Q-Bert is supposed to be some sort of cute sidekick in this movie.
Oh, good old Q-Bert.
Oh, gosh.
So you're saying it's no Wreck-It Ralph.
That's really the thing. It's just like we already have an example of how you can tap into this stuff much, much better. It is no Wreck-It Ralph. Pixels is – I did like that one moment, but it feels – I'm giving it a 3 out of 10, but it feels like I'm being nice.
All right.
That's just Pixels. Exhausting.
Hey, you know what's a good movie, though?
What?
That is now on DVD and Blu-ray. It Follows, that scary supernatural STD movie.
That's right. And I enjoyed that movie quite a bit.
As did I, and then I was honored to be asked to be on the commentary. So you guys, if you buy or rent It Follows on Blu-ray or DVD, there's a critic's commentary. Our old friend, horror guru Scott Weinberg, was asked to assemble a team of Avengers. And he did one for Snowpiercer, too, and he didn't ask me to be on that one. But he did ask me to be on this one. And it's me and Sam Zimmerman, Britt Hayes, Eric Vespi, and Allison Nastassi, who I actually don't know. But the others I do know, and I've had good conversations with them, and so I suspect their contributions to this commentary are good. Scott's on the whole thing, and then he has each of us on for 15 minutes at a time. So if you get it and you just want to hear my part, I show up at about the 15-minute mark. Anyway.
But you should listen to the whole thing.
Well, yeah, you should. I haven't yet, but I will sometime. Well, I mean, I've seen the movie, you know, 3 times.
Have you really? You've seen it 3 times now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's right. At two film festivals, right?
I watched it. Yeah. Before the commentary
it is
to prepare.
Easily one of the better horror movies of the last 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you should see it anyway. And then also, if you're already a fan, be aware you can hear some smart people and me talk about it on the commentary.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Little plug for a thing I did. And then question of the week. That's where we are now.
All right.
We asked you, like with Pixels, about a thing from the 80s that could come and get us.
Yes,
like
we
video
did.
Game
and
characters.
And,
yeah.
And Mickey says, Alf, no cat would be safe. I was thinking about this because I like this idea. And I like the idea of, like, once the internet or YouTube gets to where it is and it's just, you know, cat videos and nothing but cat videos, like, Alf is just foaming at the mouth. Like, he thinks this is the greatest porn ever.
Oh,
but
gotcha,
he doesn't realize that there's actually, he wouldn't realize that there's cats everywhere.
Is Alf eating cats? Is that the movie?
That's what I would like, yeah. I would like him to, like, just go around killing cats.
Okay. I'm on board with that. I just wonder if it might limit appeal.
It's a little thin, you're right.
It's a little thin. Because the stakes aren't very high. If he was going around killing all the dogs, you'd get people. Killing all the cats, people are like,
Some of them have it coming.
Yeah, I mean.
Is that what you're thinking?
Kind of.
All right, let's go on to Mike. Mike says, big hair and shoulder pads. And here's my idea with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like some guy who realizes the potential of controlling women. He's bad. He's an evil guy. The potential of controlling women is with their 80s. This takes place in the 80s.
Okay.
And like you can insert something in shoulder pads and hairspray that like mind control stuff.
Oh, mind control. Okay.
Like that. Yeah. So then it's a matter of – it's a commentary on how stupid – that look was in the 80s because that was an awful look for women.
Yeah.
And then it's also like there was one, you know, brave woman who went against the trend in the 80s and didn't do that. And she was able, obviously, not to be mind controlled by the man. And hence the women's movement. Because I think the women's – I'm not going to look it up, but it was right around 92 or 93 that we started.
That's when it started, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there. That's my other idea.
One of our listeners named Dallas suggests a comedy about a down-on-his-luck 37-year-old visual artist as he tries to reinvigorate his career following the total failure of a huge project. He's visited by three spirits. The first is Michael P. Keaton, who helps him understand finance. The second is Mrs. Garrett, who nurtured his sadness. The third is Mr. T, who motivates him to get back in the game and love life.
I actually have Mr. T on the phone right now. Surprisingly, he's available.
Hmm, interesting. Huh, yeah. Yeah, you could probably get all three of those people.
Geoffrey, says George Lucas.
Ba-doom-tsh.
And then he says, oh, crap, wait. It would be interesting if, like, we all sat down to watch the new Star Wars. Yeah. And the first thing we saw was, like, him stepping out and saying, like, hey, just kidding, I directed this movie. And then the movie starts. How nervous would we all be?
And then we all wake up in a cold sweat. We all have the same nightmare.
What?
Scott says Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
We will get that biopic someday.
Yeah, we will. We will get that. Dustin says, one thing I understand, which is Mac and Me. The other thing is called Zubily Zoo.
Zubily Zoo was... I know it existed. It looked like it was live action, and it was people dressed like... It looked like the cast of Cats. It looked like people dressed like cats, except it was various animals.
Huh. I don't recall that.
I think it wasn't on for very long. I guess it had a bit of a cult.
The only thing I have to say about Mac and Me is if you guys go ahead and type in Paul Rudd and Conan O'Brien on the old YouTube, you'll get a big kick out of what Paul Rudd has continuously done to Conan O'Brien involving Mac and me.
Micah suggests the Where's the Beef lady. So what if would it just be her or all the 80s advertising mascots? Like her and Max Headroom and whoever else. Max Headroom's in Pixels, isn't he?
So it's a reference to the Where's the Beef lady.
She's probably actually dead.
Yeah.
She was like 100 years old then.
Yeah, Mac. It doesn't make sense. Max Headroom, was he around in 82?
No.
I didn't think so.
Not yet.
No, ooh. Neither was a Where's the Beef lady.
No, she was like 84 or so. Doesn't have to be 82. We just said the 80s.
No.
Oh, in the Pixels. Yeah.
in the category of things that would drive you nuts.
Mm. Yeah. Teddy Ruxpin, says Zach. Attacking the unsuspecting with songs and uncomfortable snuggles. You can make Teddy Ruxpin pretty creepy.
You can make any doll pretty creepy.
I guess that's sort of just Ted, though. The talking teddy bear. I mean, he wouldn't be filthy.
What?
Yeah, I guess it'd be like a horror version of Ted, I suppose.
It took me a while to actually recall
that there was a movie called
the Character of Ted. Yes. What else we got? Do you know? Do you know what popples are? I don't know what popples are. I don't know what zombie Gorby is. I don't know.
Zombie Gorby must mean zombie Gorbachev.
Oh,
I think is what that means.
Justin says, take your pick between Voltron, Snorks, Bionic Six, and Silverhawks. I would pick Snorks. That was actually the one that I watched by far more than any other. I remember a day where I believe my elementary school started at 8:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Snorks was on at 8. I eventually figured out that I could leave my house at 8:23 if I was willing to run to school, and that way I could catch as much of the Snorks as possible.
And that was worth it?
Oh, I didn't say that. Like, in hindsight, not so much, no.
But at the time, you were willing to run to school if it meant more Snorks?
Yeah, and you know me, like, getting to school, guaranteed 100% sweaty, like, if I'm doing that. Just sweating for the first hour of school.
Yeah, the 80s had a lot of terrible things. Anne says the Cabbage Patch doll, or she suggests along those lines. Again, like you said, dolls coming to life. Easy to make that creepy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Cabbage Patch, the young people today, I don't think, don't appreciate how big a deal the Cabbage Patch dolls were. They were a huge phenomenon.
It was, what is the doll now? American Girl. Okay. So whatever American Girl was, which I experienced a little bit with my niece.
American Girl dolls are super old, though.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, people would know that are younger than us. They would be aware that was a thing. Easily, Cabbage Patch dolls were 2 to 3 times more popular.
It's huge. Women were moms were fighting each other in the stores to get them because they created artificial demand.
They created, I want to say they actually created a desire for boys to think it was popular for them to have them.
Yeah, they tricked like popular, boys into having dolls.
There's nothing wrong with having a doll.
No, not at all if you're a girl.
But to think you need a doll if you're a boy, like because of popularity, that was a new thing.
And all the dolls, definitely did that. The dolls had the creator's name tattooed on their butts.
What?
They had the name tattooed on their butts. That's how you knew it was a real Cabbage Patch doll. The guy's name, it was Xavier something.
Was there a Cabbage Patch doll in your household?
I don't think so.
My sister had one.
I think they were expensive also.
Yeah, I remember them being a little bit pricey, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, someone ought to do, except they probably couldn't because probably whoever owns those rights is ruthless in protecting them. So they probably couldn't make a movie unless the Cabbage Patch Dolls were the heroes and cute and cuddly. And they couldn't do it right, in other words.
No, they couldn't.
Still make them, I wonder? Yep, still make them.
They do, huh?
Yeah, they're still around. Still around.
Interesting. Interesting. I like the idea of hungry, hungry hippos.
Oh.
I think that would be fun. But, like, unfortunately, the only idea I had was very Jumanji-like. I couldn't think of, like, you know, a great hook.
They're probably going to make a Hungry, Hungry Hippos movie.
I'm sure they will at some point. You know what fact people love to say? I think I'm one of them. I love to tell people that, like, well, you know, hippos are actually they kill more people than sharks do.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true, but everybody says it.
It's a good thing to say, whether it's true or not.
Right.
Music videos. Somehow the music videos come back. Maybe like with Pixels. Maybe the music videos have been beamed into space and now aliens think that that is our culture. So they show up expecting like to see like hot chicks pouring beer on themselves.
Or what if they're playing
on the hood of a car?
What if they present themselves like in 80s form? To be like, because they're like trying to fit in and like associate with us. But then it's just like, but what they actually do is create an 80s revival. Like we won't believe that they're aliens. We'll just start to worship the 80s again, since we already do worship the 80s because we're from the 80s and we think it's better, even though it's ridiculous
to
think that.
It's the 90s now. 80s is old now. Now it's the 90s.
But there's nothing. Are the 90s interesting to look back on? I'm being serious. Like,
no,
is there
I don't
stuff
think they
that
are.
Occurred? Okay.
No. But I mean, the people who grew up in the 90s are in charge now. And so everything is 90s. I'm surprised by Pixels, because that's 80s and that's so retro.
Yeah.
So there you go. Question of the week. So in 2 weeks, when we come back, you have 2 weeks to think about this. We're going to do a Mount Rushmore, where we need you to tell us your four favorite animated films.
Animated. Four. Mount Rushmore.
Your four favorites, and we'll compile the results and come up with the Mount Rushmore of animated films.
Eric, question for you, Eric. You compile or me compile? You guess or me guess? Your pick.
I'll guess. You compile.
I compile. You guess. Right. Gotcha.
Okay. And animation here that includes like claymation and stop motion animation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
All forms of animation.
All forms of animation.
Yeah. So, yeah, just tell us your four favorites. You can always email us at moviebspdx@gmail.com, or you can post it on Facebook. That's what most folks do. But not everybody uses Facebook, and that's fine. We don't judge.
What?
In fact, well, I mean about that.
Oh, okay.
In fact, good for you for not using Facebook. It's a cesspool. What? You people who don't. Good for you.
But if you do, we're there. And
if you do, we're there. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, help us out.
Yeah.
We need to update the box office challenge. We didn't even do that last week. We didn't talk about the box office challenge on last week's show.
Yeah, we did.
No, we
didn't.
Didn't
we?
No.
Did we not? Didn't. Really?
We didn't.
Huh.
Yeah. But it's things are heating up, you guys. Things are big. We're down to the final stretch. Here's where we are. Here's where we stand now.
One of us has hope. One of us has certainty. Okay, go on.
9 of my 10 movies have come out. Pixels is my last movie. So I'm in the uncomfortable position of hoping the Pixels has a great opening weekend.
You have no idea. Like, honestly, you just, it's so, I wish you would have seen Pixels.
Well.
Wait, yeah. So this means you'll never see it, correct?
Probably. I mean, or maybe. Does that if it mean shows you'll on never Netflix sometime, maybe I'll watch it.
But wait, what about this Adam Sandler thing? Is this real or not real? What's going on?
No, I'm not going to pay to see it. I'm not going to review it.
Okay.
Right. Maybe sometime in my spare time I'll watch some of it. Sure. Maybe I'll just take everyone's word for it that it's garbage.
Maybe.
I have no reason to doubt you. But so I have Pixels. That's my last one. And then Jeff has Mission Impossible, Fantastic Four, and Vacation. Currently,
yes,
I'm $33 million ahead. So the question is whether Jeff's three movies will be enough to be more than my $33 million plus whatever Pixels makes. And there certainly is a good chance of that.
I mean, yeah, there's a chance that Mission Impossible takes care of this for me, and I don't even need Fantastic Four and Vacation.
I don't know if there's a chance of that.
There's a
Pixels
chance.
Would like, have to do really badly.
Pixels could make 30. Mission Impossible makes 70.
Yeah, that's true.
Done and done.
That is possible. That is possible.
I am not officially getting rid of Vacation and Fantastic Four. I'm not doing that. I'm still going to keep those just in case. But they're now in my back pocket.
Right.
That's where I'm putting them. So, yeah, when we come back 2 weeks from now, it might be over.
It might be. It might be. That's true.
Or I could be on pins and needles really hoping for Fantastic Four to be like to have a decent box office showing.
Yeah,
I'm
that
assuming
could also happen.
You would need – for you to win this – you would need Pixels to overperform, and I would say specifically Fantastic Four to underperform.
Fantastic Four is already going to underperform. It would have to be Mission Impossible would have to underperform.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Fantastic Four, I think, already is not going to make any money. Who even
you heard
cares?
It here first. No
who even
money.
Who cares about Fantastic Four?
Well, like, now that I've heard – I've heard some more things about Fantastic Four that I won't share yet, but
I've heard that they're not screening it until the night before it opens or two nights before it opens.
Yeah,
it's never a good sign.
Yeah, and there was some last minute potential changes that they were trying to do to give it a little juice.
Well, they thought of making it the Fantastic Five at the last minute and just putting Jennifer Lawrence in there somewhere, but that was vetoed.
So yeah, box office challenge. Almost all done. And once again, I forgot to measure you for the temporary tattoos. Because I get to decorate Eric D. Snider
at the
Fantastic Fest Film Festival.
One thing seems almost certain. It seems like this will probably be the closest race that we've had. Like when it's done, I think the totals will be the closest.
Yeah, well, and what's weird here is, like, Vacation, there's a great chance that Vacation does pretty much what Magic Mike did, which is, like, $12 million because it's opening on a Wednesday, and I don't get Tuesday night, Wednesday, or Thursday night, which normally we get that Thursday night stuff. So, yeah. I'm not scared, though. I'm not scared. I'm confident.
I know you're not.
You're scared, but you're acting like you're not.
I'm not scared. I know that.
Look at that! Look at that acting, guys.
I know that it's possible that I'll lose. I also know that it's possible you'll lose.
Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. Is that what it is? Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 or Paul Blart 2?
Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Got it.
Three nights in a row.
Three nights in a row. Running diary of each night.
Running diarrhea of each night. I didn't show you this. Rob Hunter gave me this. It's a Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 fake mustache.
Do you should definitely wear that.
I would wear it while I'm watching it, I suppose.
While you're watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would I put it over my real mustache, I guess? Would I have to shave my mustache and wear the fake one? Maybe that's what I would do.
You should definitely shave your mustache.
And wear the
fake one. Oh, could that be real estate for a fake tattoo? Can I put a tattoo where your mustache used to be?
No.
Okay. I was just asking. Oh, that's right. We said...
No face.
No face.
No face. No face.
No face.
So I make my living.
Yep. It definitely is. That real estate that is known as your forehead is untouchable with tattoos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. or my upper lip, which is where my mustache is.
Right.
That's the show.
Let's get out of here.
We're all done here. I'm on vacation. Southpaw is okay.
It is. It's
Jake Gyllenhaal is terrific.
And that is the reason you are sitting down as Jake Gyllenhaal, unless you're also a sucker for boxing movies. And that's the thing. I'm a sucker for both those things.
It does what have boxing.
What did you give Southpaw? I gave it a 7. Did you give it a B? B-minus? What'd you do? B-minus. Yeah. All right.
And Paper Towns, of course, you know what we said about that because we reviewed it earlier. And Pixels is terrible.
It's technically a movie, but it's very close to being void of entertainment.
Okay. That sounds about right. Yeah. We're doing Mount Rushmore. Tell us your 4 favorite animated films of all time. And we'll tabulate those results in 2 weeks. Again, no show next week. Do not show up here next week. There won't be anybody here.
You'll feel pretty embarrassed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll put a sign on the door, though, to remind you.
And to remind people who weren't here today, like when they show up next week.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than that when you miss a class and then you show up for the next class and it's like, we told everybody there was no class.
Right. Well, it should have been in the syllabus.
Just right. That's true. I bet now they just text. No, probably. They don't text.
There's
I
an
bet
email or something.
Twitter account.
Facebook page for every class or something.
Instagrammed it.
Yeah, there's one of those. One of them Instagrams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. For MovieBS with Bear and Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Bear.
Thanks for listening and good day.
I said good day.
Okay, let's go. I'll start. Hello, welcome to... That's the last time that's funny. I'm telling you as a friend, that's the last time that's funny.
I'm ready to start whenever you are. Oh, that wasn't meant to be funny, Eric.
Oh, well, that's even worse.
Yeah, that's right, Eric. That's what them. I might say that way. You're. Oh shoot, I can't even speak. Let's not do the show.
Why would that be a factor now?
Whoa, that was close.